Chat room, thanks so much for stopping by. We have to clear the way for the Gamers Inn. So just march right on over to the Gamers Inn. I bet you Ryan's got the music going already, unless he's still in the chat room. He's still in the chat room. Ryan, entertain these people, damn it. Start the music. Open Gundam style.
Gamers Inn.
Gamers Inn.
Beep, boop, boop, ba-dip, ba-dip, boop, 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 boop.
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. I got to take a second here.
Yeah. I'd like to thank the Citadel Cafe for our new intro music. I listened to the episode the other day, and I couldn't help myself. I had to throw that in there, and I'm pretty sure that's why they did it.
Yeah, so we're not actually going to have permanent new intro music, but yeah, we have to play that, because, dudes.
That's like the best rendition of the Mario music ever.
I know, right?
And, you know, I don't want to overdo it, so I'll just, well, it's not such a word, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to outshow them, I guess. Just let them have their golden star there, and we'll maybe I'll interpret the Mario music next week.
Yes. Oh no, you can't follow that up. Nothing can follow that up.
I don't,
that crazy video you showed me last week combined with Mario and some weird ode to Gamers Inn. I don't even know what happened there. It was fantastic though.
Yeah, I didn't listen live last week, so I don't know how it all came to be, but I like to think that just happened, and they're just huge fans of ours, so.
I think they are. I mean, who wouldn't be? Really?
I mean, you get to listen to my voice every week. Why? Makes sense to me.
I know. So, moving on, what we do want to mention for those who are fans of us and who like to listen to us / watch us, you can listen to us or watch us on October 20th, because that's Extra Life. So, Ryan, why don't you tell everybody what you did, and then I'll tell everyone what I did.
All right. Well, you know, Extra Life, slowly, it's catching up with us. I mean, it's just over a month away, and we are slowly putting information out there. But I did get the time to put together a short URL to help us pimp it out on the show without having to, what, is that a 300-character URL that you have posted there?
It's pretty close.
Yeah. So rather than read that out, I can direct everybody to bit.ly/TGIExtraLife, all lowercase. And that will take you to the Gamers Inn team page, where you can either join the team or donate to one of our members who are raising money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Is that
yes.
The? Yes. And you'll also see who is in the lead currently in
guess
this.
Guess who it is? Ooh, guess who it is?
Yeah, it's Jocelyn. She has tapped the family and extended family cards and got them in there early. I mean, personally, I don't know why you'd exhaust those outlets so early in the game, Jocelyn. That seems rookie mistake, don't you think?
But I have so many people that want to throw money at me all the time that I don't think it's going to be an issue. And I mean, I thought we decided last week that you get the female listeners and then I get the male listeners. So, I mean, Val's the only female listener I know of. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, female listeners, write in and tell us you exist.
Wait, your mom doesn't listen to the show?
No.
Oh. Neither does mine. shouldn't really be surprised.
Well, exactly. So, I figured that since Val has already donated to you, I should be set because all of our other listeners are just going to donate to me.
Well, we'll see. And again, this is all for charity, and Jocelyn needs to make everything a competition. I figure if I try to fight that, it's not going to help either way. So I might as well just embrace the competition, you know, let Jocelyn think she's winning, and then come October 20th, bam! Donations are going to fly in. Just you wait.
So as we mentioned last week, we are actually going to be streaming both our screens and our faces live for 24 hours. And possibly, maybe just our voices when we do the updates. I don't know. We haven't quite figured out all of the ins and outs of everything, but we have people from all around the world who are going to be gaming with us. So
indeed,
we are very excited.
Yes, and I don't know if we mentioned this last week, but the check-in segments every 3 hours all the way through the day. So you'll probably get, I think there's like 9 check-ins scheduled. But anyways, we're going to probably combine those into what would be a podcast. So an Extra Life special, if you will. And you'll be able to hear us degrade throughout the day. I'm sure our final check-in at 9 a.m. the next day will be very awesome.
Yes, I'm pretty excited for it. Because, you know, at some point, there's going to be beers, right? So...
Oh, you know what?
I'm totally preparing to just destroy myself in this 24 hours. So.
You know, that's half the fun. And, you know, having an excuse to play games for 24 hours is one thing. And I was describing this to, like, just normal people who don't game, just telling them how this thing all works. And they get it once you mention it's for charity. But then you mention we're doing this for fun. The charity is just the icing and cherry on the cake, right? Like... We would do this. This is an excuse. We would normally do this, but doing it for charity just makes it that much sweeter and allows you to explain to your girlfriend why you're playing games for 24 hours. Makes it a little easier pill to swallow. She's not in the room anymore, but
yes. Yeah, so I think that pretty much wraps up our intro. Unless you have some other big news you'd like to share.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly mention this because I found it. Pretty interesting. I'm actually looking for a house. I went house shopping. Myself and Ashley went to a showing on Sunday, and it was our first showing. And it's interesting how different we look at houses because we go in there and it's a nice house, and then we find that there's a furnished basement with a game room, and just all I can see is this my dream basement with like a nice big screen TV, a couch with a fireplace. I'm like, man, I could so just play video games in here all night without disturbing anybody. But she's like, the cupboards are bad, the wood paneling's wrong, the stairs are steep. So, but there's a fully furnished basement. We can play video games in it. So, and now she's back. She's laughing at me.
I'm sure that went over really, really well.
after a while, I sort of, realized, like, obviously we weren't going to buy the first house we saw. And we're not looking to buy for a while, but... we were just kind of trying to get experience, and you do notice, like, you do kind of latch on to the things that are most important to you. So not that the cupboards and wood paneling are most important to Ashley. She's just better at this than I am. But fully furnished basement. That's kind of my dream, to have like a game room. And I think that's basically why every place I've lived at outside my parents has been like a basement apartment. Cause just, I don't know. It's where I'm most comfortable, if that says anything about me, I guess.
Sounds like you're some weird cave-dwelling, light-hating vampire golem thing.
Yeah, and come 3 a.m. during Extra Life, you will probably see that side of Ryan. But I swear, I do have nice skin. I get outside without melting and all that fun stuff. But
all right, so Ryan, what have you been playing in your man cave this week?
You know what? It hasn't all been in the man cave, but I have been playing a specific game in the man cave called Rock Band Blitz. Now, before I start, this is a game that was developed by the Rock Band people, obviously, and previous to that, the Guitar Hero people. And I have one quick question for you, Jocelyn. Were you sucked into that whole music genre like 5 years ago, I guess, when it was like really popular?
Yes and no. I had a roommate in fourth year who would literally do anything possible to not go to class. So when Guitar Hero came out, he went out and bought the PlayStation and the guitars and everything else. And he played literally 24 hours a day. And he had to, because he had to beat whatever song on whatever crazy difficulty. And it was just the same thing over and over again. I learned so many songs. And sometimes I would sit and watch him play, and sometimes I would actually play, and it was kind of fun, but I mean, like, it was really repetitive. So I wouldn't say that I got addicted per se, but I mean, I enjoyed it, but I never owned it, and I never really want to, and I don't like any of the, like, the knockoffs that have come after Guitar Hero. I don't like any of the mobile versions or any of that kind of stuff. Like, I just... not my thing. Neither, like, rhythm games too, no. Dance games, no. Like, none of that crap.
All right.
I like to blow shit up.
So I guess you can tune out and I'll just discuss with the chat room, I guess, because this isn't going to change your tune. We need a drop-in for like negative Jocelyn drop-in, you know, like a big atom bomb or something.
Come on.
I'm just saying, you could have just nicely said, they're nice, but they're not my thing. But
I don't sound like that.
No, hey, TikToker. Ask anybody who is around me. Like, my imitations of people don't sound anything like them. And Ashley calls me on that all the time. But anyways, I digress. Rock Band Blitz is basically Rock Band without the plastic instruments. Unlike Jocelyn, I have owned, you know, tons of these games. Guitar Hero, Rock Band, Rock Band 2. I have a whole drum set from Rock Band Beatles in my closet that has not left that closet for years. And Rock Band Blitz is interesting because it uses all of the music you have from the other Rock Band games, minus a few like Beatles you can't import. But it looks at all your DLC you've collected over the last like 5 years, and also all your imported tracks from Rock Band and Rock Band 2, depending if you were able to get those exported. But it was interesting because it was an instant buy for me because I love music games because it gives me a chance to listen to music. I don't do that a lot. It's mostly podcasts, but it also allows me to actually play this DLC that I spent money on that I haven't played in years. So that was one plus for me. And I mean, it is a game without plastic instruments, so you're probably wondering, how do you play it? Well, are you wondering that?
I am definitely wondering
okay.
that.
Okay, just making sure. You have 5 instrument tracks, so if you can picture... Well, obviously, you've seen Rock Band, so you know what it looks like. You have the 5 tracks. Well, I guess it would have been 4 back then.
Yeah, I think it was... No, there was a...
Well, there was
I can't remember now.
There was 3 plus vocals, but then they added keyboards in Rock Band 3.
Oh, I never played Rock Band. I was thinking Guitar Hero, and Guitar Hero had 2 guitars. Oh, you're talking about the different instruments.
Yes.
Not the I was thinking notes that you hit.
Oh, yeah, see, I was trying to when I was writing this out, I was like, okay, what terminology can I use, cuz there's a lot of this is a confusing game and I'm not going to go into full detail because it would just sound weird and very odd. So there are 5 instruments that you play at once. You have guitar, bass, drums, vocals, and keyboard. Not all the songs use keyboard. That's more for the newer tracks. But you have 2 buttons. So as you were saying before, in Guitar Hero, you had 5. In this one, they bring it down to 2. They have an algorithm that will look at your DLC and change those 5 notes into 2, but all the tracks that ship with the game are specifically made for Rock Band Blitz to work with 2 buttons. And basically, you have to get as high a score as possible using different power-ups and stuff. But the way you do that is you have a level cap, which is basically your multiplier. Is that the right word? You know, like your x2 x3 whatever
multiplier. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which actually sounds like some weird accented way of saying multiplayer.
Yeah, or multipass, you know. But you start off at 0 and you have your 5 instruments. And the point is to try to get that level cap as high as possible so your score can go higher. So you do that by starting on, let's say, drums. Play drums long enough to get the level cap raised. You can do it 3 at a time. So once you get drums up to 3, then you have to switch tracks. And you do that with the L or R buttons. And you switch tracks so you can get your bass up and then your guitar up. And when you hit a checkpoint, the level cap raises, so allows you to go an extra 3. And again, it's very confusing, but these are the basics. And, you know, you get power-ups, and there's Facebook integration into Rock Band World, which is kind of lame because I was trying to do this. I was trying to play on the Xbox, and it's like, you can do Score War with your friends where you basically, like, get a song done and then send that score to your friend for them to beat it. And it's like a challenge, and if you win, you get a certain amount of coins and cred or whatever to increase basically your career score. But you have to do that on your computer. You can't do that in game. So it's really weird, but the basic experience of the game where you're just playing a music game without having to like drag all those instruments out, it's actually a lot of fun and really easy to get into. And it's sort of like, I never played it, but people are comparing it to Amplitude, which some people in the chat room might know or people listening, but it was an older game for the PS1, I believe. One of the first rhythm games that used music, and you would hit buttons to kind of play along with the music. And this is sort of like that. But it's really cool. It's $15, so 1,200 Microsoft points. Comes with 25 tracks. And like I said, you can pull all music from other Rock Band games. And also these 25 tracks are playable in Rock Band 3. So if you have Rock Band 3 and you...
Yeah. What am I waiting for, Ryan? What am I waiting for?
Exactly. I don't actually own Rock Band 3. I had some willpower there and didn't buy it. And so unfortunately, I can't even import my Rock Band 2 songs because you require Rock Band 3 to do that. So that kind of sucks. But I'm having a good time with it. It's one of those... It's sort of what I look at the iPhone for, like just quick games to play, get in the mood, and get out. You know, do it, get out. That, you could totally take that the wrong way, but I did not mean it that way. I meant in the sense of video games, if you just want to play something real quick, get in there for 5 minutes, this is the perfect experience.
You're digging a hole, Ryan.
I'm trying to get out. It's just, it's really steep.
Really, really steep.
Yeah, so it's really quick game.
Excellent. Yes. So I see you've been playing something else as well. Super Mario Brothers, mayhaps?
Yes. Two? Yep. On the 3DS. I think this is the first time we've talked about a 3DS game.
No, I don't think so. Talked about a couple.
Hmm. That's weird. I was going to say, like, I don't remember it. That's probably even worse.
Yes. I'm positive you've talked about 3DS games.
I think you're right.
I usually tune you out when you do, so I can't remember exactly which ones, but I'm positive that you've played and talked about 3DS games.
Okay. Well, that's good then, because I keep buying them. So
I am excited to hear about Super Mario Bros. 2, though, because it's actually a title that if I owned a 3DS, I might think about picking up.
Okay. So, so you're an old school 2D Mario fan then?
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. This one is basically...
Be positive, Jocelyn.
Much better. We probably won't need a drop-in for that. this game is very similar to Super Mario World on the Super NES. Same sort of idea.
I love Super Mario World.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay, well, it's interesting because this game... is not, like, you're supposed to get excited for a new Mario platformer. Like, these games come along every few years, and they're fantastic, and you always get excited to play them. But, you know, I bought it, I booted it up, and I've been having a hard time just getting into it and, like, really having a good time with it. Like, there are moments where it's really fun, and you're doing the old 2D Mario thing, jump, stump on a Goomba dude. But it's almost like, you know, it's not unique enough. It feels like a rehash. It feels like I've played this game before. And it doesn't help that it looks almost identical to the one that came out on Wii and identical to the one that came out on DS before it. And that's what I'm curious. Have you played any other new Super Mario Brothers games?
I played new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Okay. And what did you think about that one?
It was fun. I found it a little bit too easy, but still good. I went through and beat all 8 worlds, and then I think got the first 2 secret levels that you get when you get all those big star coin things.
Right.
And all, like, so when you collect all the big star coins in world 1, it unlocks like level 9-1, and then when you collect all the big star coins in world 2, it unlocks 9-2. So I did that, but then it got too hard and I gave up.
Oh, well, and that game's interesting, too, because I bought that game for the 4-player co-op, got 4 Wiimotes, got my roommates together to play. They ended up beating the game for me because I just lost interest. I don't know what it is. I think it's more about just, you know, the 2D games being easy and less creative when compared to the 3D ones. Like, Super Mario Galaxy was awesome, and the second one was even better, and even Super Mario 3D Land, like, I walked to work, and I started thinking, and this is why I've been playing this game, it's like, the reason I don't play portable games is I don't I'm always at home when I play games. I'm never out. So I decided to bring the 3DS to work. And on the way to work, I got a street pass for Super Mario 3D Land, where basically two 3DSs communicate and then send data back and forth. And someone had sent me a Super Mario 3D Land mystery box, which is basically like this little small contained level. Basically, you're Mario in a 3D box, and you have to kill a bunch of enemies that are in there. In this case, it was three Goombas. Pretty easy. But it was a lot of fun, and it reminded me. And then I went in and played a couple levels, and I was reminded that that game's just so much better and so much more creative. And just, I think it is because it's 3D. It's all in 3D. It's not 2D. It's, you know, you have your advanced moves like the side jump and the long jump, whereas in Super Mario Bros. 2, it's straight up triple jump and, you know, stomp, butt stomp. That's it. Very, very simple.
What's wrong with butt stomp?
Nothing's wrong with butt stomp. I'm a big fan of butt stomping, but I'm just saying that that's two moves that your Mario gets.
Well, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I do like Mario to have more moves than two.
Yeah. And mind still, you.
I like 2D Mario. I think it's really fun. So
confirmed, you heard it here. Jocelyn's going to be buying new Super Mario Bros. U for the Wii U.
The Wii U can suck. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that you do get power ups.
My butt stomp.
Oh, show title. you do get the suits in this game, and again, that's just where the more lack in creativity is shown, because you get, wait for it, the mini mushroom, which has been around long enough that it's not unique. And also the flower suit, been done plenty. Like, it's good to have the classics in there, but guys, you gotta, you know, give me more than that. And then they brought back the raccoon suit with the power meter, where you can actually like run long enough and then you hear the little, you know, and you start flying. So that was cool, but I haven't really used it a lot because the levels aren't really built for it. So I'm still going to keep playing it. It is a Mario game, so it's probably the best platformer out there. I can't think of any other game like this that I would recommend over a Mario game. But if you are going to buy a 3DS for a Mario game, definitely pick up Super Mario 3D Land first, because it is the superior game, and it only came out a year ago.
Why wouldn't you say pick up Super Mario Brothers 2 first if you think that's not as good, and then they could build up to Super Mario 3D Land instead of playing 3D Land and then playing one level of 2D Mario and going, this is dumb.
Yeah, well, I suppose. And like, I have my case of 3DS games here, and just look, I'm trying to look at the ones that I've actually played through and like thoroughly played, and the only one is Super Mario 3D Land, and there's 10 of them in here. So
oh my god.
And that's,
the chat room's calling me a whore.
And that's half, well, we've been over this in the early days. That's half me being obsessive to be like, oh my god, new game from Nintendo, must get. And the other half just being, these are great games. I'm not good at playing portable games, and we'll probably get into that later on. So
teaser.
Indeed. And what have you been playing, Jocelyn?
Well, actually, I haven't been playing too much because this past weekend my cousin was here from England, so I was entertaining her and we did a lot of out and about in Halifax city stuff, so I didn't get to play a lot, but what I did play was some Halo 3. Talking about teasers.
Mm.
So our next Road to Halo 4 episode is actually next week, where we will be covering Halo 3, which I'm super excited about because, spoiler alert, I'm actually really enjoying this one.
Oh, crap. Well, there you go. That's so good.
I'm excited about it. I'm actually upset that I don't have more time to play. So I'm going to have to see, but I'm going to try to get as far through it as possible. But I'm really enjoying it. I still have some of the same sort of things, no actual comments being made today, but it's much better. So tune in next week for our Halo 3 discussion, and very shortly after that we are going to be talking about Mists of Pandaria, with World of Warcraft launching September 25th, Mm-hmm. Ryan, right? Yes.
Yep.
So have you been playing a bit of WoW lately, or?
I have. Nobody claimed the Mists of Pandaria beta, and not because people are lame or anything like that. I had said that, you know, there's probably many reasons, and I just happened to fall into none of those categories. Because we've been over this, I'm a whore, and I can't wait 3 weeks. I have to have it now. So I snagged up that Mists of Pandaria beta and rolled a panda monk. The new continent is beautiful. That's what I'll say. And I didn't want to get too far in, so I wasn't reading quests, and I just did a little bit. But it's definitely like, wow. and not in that sense. It's definitely World of Warcraft. I'm not wowed by it. It's definitely World of Warcraft. And I'm not being super negative, but I did import an 85 character in, and I have been playing a lot of Guild Wars 2. And the graphics are of a older game. And yes. I'm not kidding anybody by saying that, because everybody knows World of Warcraft has been around for a long time. And for the game...
It's been, 8 years now?
Exactly. And for the game to look the way it does now, that's amazing. Because a lot of games, like, for example... Halo 2 is an 8-year-old game. Unfortunately, it hasn't been given the updates that WoW has been given, but you can kind of see the comparison that Halo 2 and World of Warcraft sort of came out around the same time, and one has aged a lot better than the other.
Yeah.
So, but that being said, Guild Wars 2 does look a hell of a lot better, so it's kind of like, you know, I don't really want to ruin this for myself because I did pre-order the Collector's Edition, and I want to play it. And the graphics for me aren't everything, right? So, nor should they be for anybody. But the gameplay and story, I'm really excited to get back into that, because the Guild Wars story is not that great. It's not catching me.
I'm such a story gamer. I need my games to have something to them.
Mm.
So... I don't know. I really don't think I'm going to pick up Guild Wars now. Like, it's just...
The story is there, but it feels like it's there because it needed... Because it's like, well, we have to have a story. Come on, guys. We can't just have
There's
you...
There's got to be something.
Yeah, exactly. And I may be being a little negative here, but that's just the way I feel. And maybe it's because the gameplay is so great that I noticed that the story is like... I just don't pay attention to it. And maybe if I had been paying attention the whole time, or really like put the focus I put into when I was playing WoW in terms of story, like I read freaking books in the Warcraft lore, right? I read books in the mm-hmm. Halo lore. I eat that crap up. But when it comes to Guild Wars 2, it's just I have no interest. But mm-hmm. the gameplay is a lot of fun. But then WoW gameplay is fun for the most part. And engaging, and you keep moving, and the quests are interesting. But the story, I've always loved the way the Warcraft story sort of played out. I'm looking forward to get back into that world for the story, for sure.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and just got accepted into AIE, which is really exciting for me.
Mm.
I know a lot of people that are playing and still play, and they're part of that guild, so I'm really excited, and I'm having such a great time, and it's all so new to me, right? Because I haven't been playing for 8 years. Like, Joel and I literally just picked it up like 8 months ago, so I'm really, really enjoying it still. Like, I can't believe it's taken 8 months for us to get our freaking characters to level 40, but we're at level 40!
Yay! That was like vanilla mount time. I remember when you got a character to 40 and it was like, yes, I get to go buy my mount. Oh, wait, I don't have enough gold for the training.
Oh, my God. I have so much gold right now, dude. I don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah. See, they turned WoW into easy mode since the last time I played. Just kidding.
Shut up. Jerk.
It's been so long since I played it. The game has changed so much.
It's not the game. I'm not getting the gold from the game. I'm getting the gold from the auction house, because now I have the remote auction house app. So every single time that I go into play, I'm leveling my skinning and I'm leveling my mining just by going around and doing stuff. And like, I don't even have to craft anything. I just... whatever I collect while I'm doing my questing, I just throw on the auction house, and then I can manage it all when I'm out doing whatever I'm doing, and It's easy. I think I've got like 750 gold or something in the last couple of weeks. And I'm just like, I don't even know what to buy. Like, I think I earned like 22 gold leveling my way to 40. Like, and then all of a sudden I have like 750 and I'm like, it's like winning the lottery. I feel like I just won the lottery and I don't know where the F to start.
Nobody does. And then they go bankrupt.
I know. And that's what I'm worried about, is that I'll just go into the auction house and be like, I'm going to buy all the things. And then I'll be like, oh, I have no money left.
You're going to be that dude on the news. Former lottery person is now living in gutter. More at 11. I don't know.
You'll just see me at the bottom of that big, like, cataclysm hole in the barrens. Like, oh, yeah, there's Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody help her.
Bet it all. On
she did it to herself.
Golden chocobo. I was going to say about getting back into WoW, I got a 7-day sort of please come back, but Blizzard doesn't know I pre-ordered, so joke's on them. So I got some time off. I got a long weekend coming up because I basically worked overtime on Saturday, so it's like, yes, Friday and Monday off, and I am going to take that 7 days to resub and get reacquainted with the world. And you mentioned Earthen Realm, and are you moving all
Ring,
your guys over
Earthen
there?
Ring.
Earthen Ring Realm.
Yes.
Because they are realms. I was close. I always think ER, and I was just like, George Clooney and that Noah Wiley dude. But seriously, are you moving your characters over there? Is that going to be your main server?
I leveled an undead rogue from 1 to 10 to apply for AIE because we didn't actually move our mains over, but we will be as soon as money things kind of work their way out. So
it's expensive.
It is expensive. And for Joel and I both to do it, it's like $25 each. So basically it's like the cost of a brand new game. So
yeah.
We're kind of like, we'd really like to, but, you know, maybe we should buy Mists of Pandaria, maybe, which we still haven't done. So it's just like, ugh.
See, I'm undecided as to what I'm going to do. I know at this point, based on the conversation, I'm probably going to start any new characters on Earthen Realms, because that sounds like it's going to be our leveling server based on the amount of people who are coming back into the game. I know I was talking to Boba Fettish, and he's sort of along the same lines as me. He's like, yeah, I'll probably pick it up because of, you know, peer pressure and just, you know, wanting to get back into WoW. And I actually have a level 58 as well as Boba Fettish on Earthen... Or no, he was going to transfer, but I have a 58 warrior on Earthen Realm right now that I transferred years ago to be on in the AIE guild, which was back when it was one guild and all you had to do was whisper an officer to get an invite back in the day. So he's there, and I don't know how to play warriors anymore, so that'll be interesting. But
I know. Yeah. I don't really like my hunter anymore. I really enjoyed being the rogue, but I didn't really want to be undead. I just started undead because I wanted a different character. Because I was, like, I like my blood elf, but I didn't want to level another blood elf.
Yeah,
so. So I just, I gave undead a shot, and it was a lot of fun. But what was really fun was being a rogue. So I might just start another one for the heck of it. Who knows?
Well, you know, I have that 80 character that I was talking to Rick and Lou about. I'm still unsure as to whether I'll probably transfer him to their server, because I know they're like kind of raiding and getting ready for Mists of Pandaria. But then again, if it goes over, the first thing I'm going to do is roll a new character, like a new panda probably. So it'll be interesting to see whether I sort of stick with AIE or whatever, because they're a huge guild. So there's tons of opportunities to do raids and stuff.
I think they're up to 12 like sub-guilds now. Yep.
See, it's really easy to get lost in that madness.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes over. I mean, this is just me uneducated talking, so maybe once I get in there and start experiencing it, I'll have a different tune. So I'm actually looking forward to getting back into WoW, as much as I've been saying that for the past, what, 3 or 4 months? But it's happening very soon, Jocelyn.
Right. I'm never getting my mount.
Actually, funny thing you bring that up. Anyways, it's funny you bring it up because I was looking into it and there's no mention of that expiring. And you can probably actually go into your Battle.net account and look at your Scroll of Resurrection history status list or whatever and probably still see my name. But that being said, I had 30 days to use the benefits, like the boost to level 80 and the server transfer, and I actually didn't do it. So I missed out on that. So that kind of sucks. So now Well, yeah, I guess. I'm pretty sure you'll still get your mount. I hope so. I mean, because you still upheld your end of the bargain.
That is true. We'll have to see. Can I send you another one? Or
no.
Because you already accepted.
Yeah, exactly.
I see.
I was kind of hoping you could, because then I wouldn't have to pay for the server transfer, but it makes sense not being able to do two.
Right. Well, that actually, I guess we'll just wrap this up now by reminding everyone that shortly after Mists of Pandaria launches, we will be having Mark the Terpster Turpin on here to talk all things WoW with us, which is very exciting. And we also have, I'm not going to tell you exactly what, but we have some WoW things to give away. So if you have been thinking that you may want to try WoW, or you think that you need an accessory of some kind while playing WoW, and you may happen to be a hunter of some kind, then maybe you should tune in to our WoW episode and the episodes leading up to it so you can find out how you can win.
Mm. Jocelyn is going to knit you a WoW hat. I don't know. I was trying to think of something interesting that you could use while you're playing WoW as an accessory, but
I can't actually knit, so I'm totally just going to, like, cut it out of a piece of cardboard and write hat on it.
It's better than any hat I've ever owned.
And with that, on to quick news. LEGO Lord of the Rings features an open world Middle Earth. It looks like Warner Brothers is finally opening up a little bit more about what the LEGO Lord of the Rings experience will be like. They've said it will be open world, but we don't know if that's open interconnected areas like Harry Potter or true open world like LEGO Batman 2. The game will feature crafting, which makes it sound like a console RPG with Lego, so I love it! More details can be found in our show notes.
Bohemia Interactive employees arrested for espionage. Two men confirmed to be working for the Arma development studio were arrested after being found to have photos and videos of military installations on the island of Lemnos, Greece. The two were on a holiday trip to the island, supposedly to experience the island's beautiful surroundings. In a statement, however, Bohemia Interactive had this to say. Since its establishment in 1999, Bohemia Interactive has created games based only upon publicly available information. We always respect the law, and we've never instructed anybody to violate the laws of any country. The same is true for Arma 3. One can hope the two have learned their lesson and will be returned home safely soon.
EA was looking to buy Valve for $1 billion. I feel like everyone keeps throwing around that number just to see how many Dr. Evil impressions they can get out of 20-somethings like me. According to anonymous, but apparently reliable sources, EA has tried to buy Valve many times over the years and would have spent over $1 billion to acquire the company. It is likely the talks fell through because of Gabe's belief that Valve would fall apart if bought, so don't look for a deal like this to be made anytime soon.
And then EA threw a hissy and made Origin. More Borderlands 2 pre-order DLC details. Gage, the Necromancer, the fifth class for the game, will be free of charge to gamers who pre-ordered. But what about those that couldn't make the trek down to EB Games? That's a great question. The Necromancer class is going to set you back 800 Microsoft points or $10 on PS3 or PC, and will be available on October 16th. Borderlands 2 hits stores on September 18th, which is less than a week away.
Nintendo Wii U will be unveiled tomorrow, officially, with details. Nintendo of America's Wii U press event is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern in New York City. Nintendo will be streaming the event live on their Wii U Facebook page, which is something I didn't even know you could do. Look for an official release date, price, bundles, and launch titles to be announced. So basically everything Apple did today, Nintendo is going to do tomorrow, and probably not as well, which is par for the course. Winky face. Which means I'm joking.
Or is she?
Dun, dun, dun.
That's the reaction I was looking for. Details on Resident Evil 6 timed exclusive DLC. Surprise, surprise. Another multi-platform title with a Microsoft money hat on. This week, Capcom gave us details on three timed exclusive DLC add-ons that, that each add a new multiplayer mode to the game. Survivors, Siege, and Predator mode will be available first on Xbox 360 post-launch. Resident Evil fans, what do you think about these DLC plans?
Sony and Bethesda swear they're working together to fix a very broken Skyrim DLC. Sony says their dev team is working with Bethesda to bring the DLC to players as soon as possible, as they do with all third-party game companies. A timeline was not given, and no promises have been made, but there is still hope for Dawnguard and Hearthfire to come to the PS3 sometime in the future.
Steam Big Picture Mode in public beta. This is more a public service announcement rather than quickfire news, but nonetheless, be sure to opt into Steam beta version so you can test drive the new Big Picture Mode. This new mode makes navigating every feature of Steam a piece of cake when having your computer hooked up to a TV and using a controller. Check out the trailer linked in the show notes to get a complete rundown of the awesome new interface.
I'm pretty excited.
It works really well.
Everything Steam does is gold.
Yep. No, it's great.
So that brings us to our topic of the week. And this week we are going to be talking the Big Apple announcement in conjunction with mobile gaming, which is something that Ryan and I were both shocked that we hadn't actually covered yet, considering how often we talk about, you know, like iPhone games and new Nintendo 3DS games and all that kind of stuff, which I swear Ryan has talked about in the past, yeah. Even though he doesn't remember.
I'll have to look into that. I mean,
I think you should.
It wouldn't be hard to look into it, but it's a bad sign that A, I think I never talked about it, but also that you said I did and I can't remember. But then again, I black out everything. That's why I re-listen to the shows, because like, I don't remember what I said. Oh, I was racist.
And sexist.
Yes. No, I wasn't. We've
and
been
we
over
got
this.
Got mail.
Yeah.
So today, the Big Apple announcement happened, and it was a little bit anticlimactic. I scheduled my lunch and I watched the Twit live coverage. And so basically what they were doing is they were all sitting around the table and then they had all the live streaming blogs popping up and they were, you know, talking about the news as it happened. And it was actually really good coverage and I enjoyed listening to it. So, but the announcement itself from Apple, there was a whole lot of stuff that all of the tech blogs actually got right over the last few months. So there weren't a lot of surprises with this. Like, we knew about the new connector, we knew about the bigger screen. Everyone thought it would be bigger than it ended up being, but you know, everyone knew it was going to be bigger than the 3.5 inches. So, you know, we were expecting a bigger screen, a new connector. We were expecting LTE was, you know, a maybe, but probably. And then, you know, everything else was just kind of like little things. Like, they talked about the camera and, you know, new camera, so that's awesome. Same specs, but thinner, which is apparently an engineering marvel.
They say that every year.
I know. It's the best thing for the iPhone since the iPhone.
Ugh. Apple.
Worst slogan ever. But anyways, the one thing, two things that were noticeably different from this, or from the 4S to the 5, is twice as fast, and the screen has RGB something or other, or something RGB, I can't remember what it's called.
Something about saturation.
Yeah, I feel like it's sRGB, but anyways, it's supposed to be more colorful, more true to life, all wow-ish. So, that's exciting for gamers, because two times as fast means better games, smoother transitions, you know, developers can do more on the mobile platform.
Well, yeah, and you're like, just more importantly, like, jump right into it. You have a 3GS, right?
Oh my God, I do.
So the jump for you is going to be similar to the jump, not similar, it's more so, but I made a jump from, have you made a hardware jump when it comes to the iPhone, or did you start with the 3GS?
No, I started with the 3GS.
Right, so you're about to experience something very awesome, because when I went from the 3G to the 4, the jump was incredible. You could just suddenly do things much faster. All the games you wanted to play. I have a stockpile of games for my iPad and iPhone that I have yet to be able to even play, because they go on sale for 99 cents, but they just run like shit on the old hardware, right? So you're in for a real treat.
You should see how long it takes me to make my Hero Academy moves. It's ridiculous. It takes a good minute and a half to 2 minutes just to load into where I choose my games.
Brutal.
It's pretty awful. But I love the game, so I play. Mm. But, or well, at least they're not having like crazy select game server issues.
Yeah, it's a different...
Anyways, which is totally happening to me. I haven't been able to play for days because of their stupid
issues. Well, the servers are down now. They took them down.
Yeah. Anyways, so this is exciting. I think that it's a, you know, it's an upgrade, and everyone was kind of saying, like, oh, there wasn't the wow factor this time. It wasn't as great as it has been in the past, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, but if you totally revolutionize the way people think about mobile phones and mobile gaming, like, you can only kind of do that once, maybe twice. You know, like, what were people really expecting? Like, if it's working and it's popular, then you're going to make it thinner, lighter, better screen. You know, they ticked all the boxes. Now the 5 is better than the 4S, so everybody's winning, and yet people are complaining. So,
well, yeah, I don't know what they expect. Like, this is exactly what I wanted, and it sounds like exactly what you wanted.
Exactly.
Faster phone.
Wait. I think it's awesome. Exactly. And for me, like, the 4 was faster than the 3GS, the 4S is faster than the 4, and now the 5 is twice as fast as the 4S. Like, I think my brain's going to explode. I'm going to tap an icon and stuff's going to happen right away. And I'm going to be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't process this.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to be picking one up. I'm unsure whether I'll pre-order, because technically buying it now as opposed to going to the store and buying it in a month or so, there's no real difference, because I'm eligible for the hardware upgrade. I want the new phone.
See, I am not.
Oh, you're not?
I have to wait until my contract finishes in December. Otherwise, I pay a $100 early upgrade fee.
Who are you with?
Fucking Rogers.
Well, so am I. I mean, how long have you had a contract?
It'll be 3 years in December.
Yeah, but you don't have to wait for your contract to be up.
I don't have to wait, but I have to pay fees. So there's a $50 fee to upgrade the phone.
Mm-hmm.
There's the fee for the actual phone, so the $199. Then there's an admin fee of $65.
Weird.
So it's actually over $100 just in fees for me to upgrade.
Have you like looked into this recently? Or I assume you have. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago. I went in over the weekend and asked the Rogers guy. Didn't you see my tweet? Because I was just like, oh, Rogers guy just totally slipped the price to me.
No, I mean, it's funny. Once the weekend hits, I just Twitter. If I'm not at my computer, I don't, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, I went into Rogers and I was like, okay, so when they announced the iPhone 5 on blah, blah, on like whatever day it is today, I totally lose track when I'm working shift work. So anyways, I was like, when they announce on the 12th that they're bringing out the iPhone 5, I'm like, if I want to get it, you know, then what do I have to do? Like, what are my fees going to be? Do I have to wait till December? Do I have to pay to buy out my current contract? Like, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And he just kind of, like, looked at me and went, uh-oh, she knows what she's talking about. I think she knows more than I do. Uh-oh. And so he just kind of, like, opened up my account, and he's just, like, he was just going through, and he's like, okay, so you want to upgrade to the 5 if that's what they're doing.
Wink, wink, and, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, so you pay this fee and you pay this fee, and then you have to pay the price of the phone, which, you know, it's $159 with a 3-year contract. And he just went dead silent. And I was like, yes!
Wait, you're not winning. He just told you you need to spend a bunch of money.
Well, no, I know, but I found out how much money I was going to have to spend before Apple told me. So I was excited.
I think what you need to do is you need to go onto the My Rogers site, and they have an upgrade eligibility form that looks at your account and totally ignores the newbie at the counter. It just tells you straight off whether you're eligible and how much it'll cost you.
Well, I'm eligible for an upgrade, but all the phones that I'm eligible to upgrade for free suck. So
you want the iPhone 5, right? I understand that.
Yes.
But I just find it super weird that I'd be able to upgrade, and I'm sure my contract – usually what they do is they make you renew your contract to get the early upgrade. So I'm extended probably like to 2013 at some point.
Right, and I asked if I had to do all that stuff too, and they said, yep, but you have to pay the early upgrade fee. It might be a new thing. They might have just brought it in I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get
that's not really gaming, yeah.
Yeah, contract type talk.
That's not very interesting.
It's going to be faster, mm-hmm. and the screen is better, the colors are brighter. So did you actually get to see the EA demo?
No, but I did see screenshots of it. I actually wasn't watching live. Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's what I mean. So, I mean, it made me actually laugh out loud, and the girls in the office thought I was insane for sitting there and watching an iPhone announcement for an hour anyway. But I was sitting there with my headphones on, and then when they were like, and new revolutionary something something will be able to have rear view mirrors.
Oh.
And I was just like, seriously? Okay, you're taking that and you're going a little bit too far. Like, this is not something to be too excited about. Like, who really cares? I mean, it's a racing game on a 4-inch screen. Come on, let's be realistic. But anyways, the point is that the racing game itself, there are screenshots taken with a phone camera kind of thing, and they still looked fantastic. So I think this is really good for gaming and, well, mobile gaming, I guess, not maybe so much console gaming, although we can get into that a little later. But what I did notice was they talked about a new feature, which was time-shifting multiplayer. I don't know if I like it. It's basically the same concept as either, like, do you remember Mario Kart? You could race your ghost.
I was just about to say, is that exactly what it is?
That's pretty much what it is. So basically, it's like Hero Academy. It's like, I put my turn in, which is like my race around the track, and then you race against my race around the track whenever you have time.
Hmm.
So I don't know if I like that, because then it favors the second player, right? Because you can see my mistakes and you can, you know, you have me there kind of pushing you. Whereas when I'm playing just with myself, it's like a single player, you know, going around the track, unless you can go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know exactly how it works. They didn't really get into it. But I thought it's an interesting concept. Maybe applying it to racing games wasn't a good idea. I don't know. But anyways, it integrates with Game Center, and they're always looking for more ways to get people to use Game Center and really get into all of that. So I think it'll be fun to see what happens. What do you think?
I'm just excited for the updated graphics, so I can play like the Unreal type games that are out on it. Like, Infinity Blade 2.
I was going to say Infinity Blade.
Yeah, and the Infinity Blade Dungeons, I believe, is coming out as well. And this device is sort of my stopgap before I buy. Like, I've been meaning to buy a new iPad. I just haven't been able to justify it. And probably won't be able to justify it next year either. I'm sort of like three models behind. But I really enjoy the extra real estate on the iPad. But there's something about the iPhone just be truly portable, like take it out of my pocket and start playing some games. And I saw things on the website, things on the web today, just mentioning like, oh, this isn't a 360 game. This is actually an iPhone game, you know? And it might, those screenshots look, well, they're definitely better than the 3DS. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But they look on par with Vita, you know, I would say.
I was going to say, I haven't really seen screenshots that, like, I'm so out of the mobile gaming realm, except for, like, I do game on my iPhone sometimes. But even then, I'm not a huge mobile gamer. Like, I play Hero Academy, and that's pretty much the extent of it right now. So I haven't really been paying that much attention to how it may compare to other mobile games. But what I do find interesting is an article that we noticed on when Joel and I were watching Tech News Today a couple days ago. They were talking about an article that came out that actually said that the total number of mobile gamers is now more than the total number of console gamers. And everybody's talking about, like, oh, the downfall of the PC, and, you know, like, oh, we're not surprised, mobile games are more compelling, and, you know, people have more time for that than, and they sit in mobile game and have movies on in the background, all this other stuff. And it's like, yeah, but two things. First of all, people who are gamers may be like Ryan and do both. Mm-hmm. And game on mobile platforms as well as gaming on consoles or PCs. So I don't think it's really fair to necessarily just say everybody is switching from consoles to mobile. And the other thing is, if they are, I think that you really have to remember, we're at the end of a console cycle right now. So there's going to be a new Wii coming out in a couple months. Mm-hmm. We have the Xbox 720 or whatever the heck they're going to call it, and the PS4 or whatever the heck they're going to call it. And those are going to be announced, you know, kind of next year for either release next holiday season or possibly, you know, the year after that. But coming in the next year and a half to 2 years, we're going to get new PlayStations and Xboxes. Mm-hmm. So I think these numbers don't surprise me, and it seems like one of those, well, yeah, moments, you know, when it's just like, and we're studying this, why?
Could it be more so because, the iPhone is super popular, and not just the iPhone. We've been focusing a lot on the iPhone. Let's drag Android and even BlackBerry into this fight. Like, just smartphones in general have really opened up. What?
I said brick breaker. It's like the only BlackBerry.
Oh, right. Well, not if you have the playbook. If you were the one of three people that bought one. apologize to all our playbook listeners. All zero of you. Anyways, just all smartphones.
Oh, we need a Venn diagram. People who have playbooks, people who listen to Gamers In, and they don't interconnect.
Oh, comedy. Someone should whip that up, actually. I'm sure we could create a lot of fun things with Venn diagrams, like I was going to make a Nintendo joke, but I can't do it off the cuff. Smartphones in general have just really pulled in a lot of extra people, so that could be seeing the shift as well from mobile gamers and console gamers.
That's true. It would be really interesting to see where that overlap is. Venn diagram between consoles and mobile, because then I would say probably it's console gamers picking up mobile games when they can't game at home, you know, so like when I'm on the bus or my lunch break at work or something. And then, you know, to see the people who are strictly mobile gamers, and then I would say that those are probably, yes, due to the popularity of Android devices and iPhones and all that kind of stuff, and moving away from a phone that's a phone to a phone that's basically a computer in your hand and lets you do all these things that aren't just, you know, like one-sided Pong and solitaire and stuff like that.
Yeah, and speaking of that point, like, when was the last time you owned a dedicated handheld gaming system?
Jeez, I don't even remember. I had the Game Boy Advance, maybe. It was the flippy one that came out in like 2003-ish.
There was a flippy one that of a Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy Advance SP.
Yeah, it might have been. It was really square. Anyways.
Yeah. Did it have like SNES type graphics?
Yes.
Then that's the one. So I mean, that's an interesting point. So you don't sound like a portable. Well, you said you're not a big portable gamer.
Well, I'm not. And then, like I said, I have my iPhone.
Right, and so that has sort of replaced that itch when you need it to be scratched. Like for me, I've always been one to purchase. Like, this is no surprise to anybody. I'm a Nintendo fan. I enjoy first party Nintendo titles. I will probably buy every Nintendo platform until they stop making them. And the Nintendo portable platforms have always been their best work. The Game Boy, the DS, even the 3DS is profitable for them now, even though it had a rough start. But that being said, my portable gaming time has gone way down. The only reason I've been playing 3DS recently is because I have an hour lunch break. I'm just going to start going sit on a bench in the park and play a portable game, mm-hmm. which has proven to be a lot of fun. And there are experiences I can't get on my iPhone. There are games similar to Mario on the iOS, but just not even close.
Do you think that, just to kind of wrap it up, this new iPhone with the faster graphics, better graphics, all that kind of stuff, faster processor, do you think that that's going to bring more people into gaming? Or do you think basically it's just like everybody who wants a phone and who games on a phone, all that kind of stuff. Like, they're already there. That's pretty much it, you know? Or do you think that it's all this new hardware is going to bring more people in? What do you think? More mobile gamers, less?
I think more, just because people are buying these smartphones because, believe it or not, they need a phone and something they can use to organize their life. I mean, gaming, I don't buy an iPhone for games. I buy an iPhone so I can, you know, have it take over my life and organize myself and have a little bit of order to the chaos that is my work schedule and all that crazy stuff, you know, things going on. My 3DS doesn't do that. And for that matter, I'm sure it could, but it's clunky as hell and not meant for that. And, you know, I think that's why smartphones are bringing more people in, because they're just like, oh, you know, I can download Solitaire and Tetris on my iPhone. That's cool. But right. I'm really using it for my business email and, you know, making phone calls.
Do you think that when the new consoles come out, which is what I think, then we're going to see dropping in mobile gaming, because people are going to be, instead of sitting on the couch watching a movie playing a game on your iPhone, you'll be sitting there playing a game on your Xbox 720.
Maybe you'll see a change, but I think just the fact that you can sit on your couch and play a quick round of Draw Something or Hero Academy for that matter, as opposed to sitting down and like, okay, booting up Halo 4 or 5, you know, getting into a campaign. Oh, there's Cortana, you know, like getting into that whole process of like playing a console game requires a lot more startup time. Whereas on the iPhone, I got 15 minutes. Let's do a couple Hero Academy rounds. So,
whereas I'm like, I have 15 minutes. Maybe I can get in one move.
I could turn my, oh crap, my phone's off. Damn it.
Dude, my power button fell out.
You need a new phone, Jocelyn.
I know. But the silver part around the phone, it's coming off. I could, if I really tried, I could pop it off. But I'm afraid, because then I think it's all just going to fall apart.
Yeah, you might want to duct tape that sucker.
I'm this close. I know you can't see my fingers right now, but they're really close.
I'm together. Picturing them really close together. That sounded creepy. But yeah, like, I've got a question for you. In terms of a dedicated handheld system, would you ever buy one? And what would have to be there to convince you to buy one? Let's take a future Nintendo console, because you do have that connection to Nintendo franchises.
It would have to be one hell of a good Zelda game, and it would have to not have 3D. And well, I know you can turn the 3D off. I get that. But I feel like it's gimmicky, and the last thing that Zelda franchises need is more gimmicks. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't picture myself needing, especially with an iPhone, when I pick up the 5, then I don't need a portable gaming platform. That is my portable gaming platform. So I don't think I would buy any, like, I wouldn't buy the PlayStation, because I don't have any ties to Sony. So there are no franchises that I really, really wish that I could play on the bus or whatever.
Right.
I did try, the first PlayStation, the PSP, I tried the Little Big Planet for the PSP. And that was kind of fun. But I liked Little Big Planet on the PlayStation. So it just kind of felt smooshed. And I was like, well, why would I play it smooshed when I can have it big? So, again, and that's, it always comes back to that, is I never want to play a game on the go as much as I want to play a game big.
Yes, that's a valid point. And I think that's the reason why my 3DS has collected dust rather than taking it out and playing it, is because I don't want to sit on my couch and play it when I could definitely boot up a similar or better game on even my Wii, like if we're talking strictly Nintendo games. I mean, you know, Super Mario Galaxy, play it on my Wii.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, taking it out and kind of being portable has sort of changed my perspective. And I mean, the iPhone has always been something we've just had with us. So, it's an interesting dilemma. And we're seeing it more and more, you know, with the Vita just having awful sales and struggling, and the 3DS not doing as well as the other previous releases. I mean, it's doing fine, but not doing gangbusters.
Right. Well, that brings us to our listener feedback portion. And we have an email, which I think we're going to cover first, because then we have a very special announcement that I'm going to let Ryan do. But first, we got an email from Joel. And he says, I was watching YouTube before recording the Citadel Cafe tonight, and I came across this gem in my quote-unquote recommended list. It's a quick look at Transformers, Fall of Cybertron by Giant Bomb with the developers of the game, and it looks pretty friggin' sweet. I know I've been eyeing the original War for Cybertron from 2010 in EB whenever Jocelyn and I stop in, and this has me even more curious about the franchise. Enjoy! All 34 minutes of it. It's a YouTube clip. Have a great show! From Joel. So, we have been eyeing up this, the War for Cybertron title. So, Ryan, have you said in the pre-show that you've played this?
Yeah, I played through War for Cybertron, back when it came out a couple summers ago, and it is a really cool game. Like, you get to play a Transformers adventure, and the game doesn't suck, unlike the Michael Bay films. That being said, yeah. that being said, there was a game made by the studio based on the third Transformers film, which did indeed suck. So don't get that one. War for Cybertron is definitely the one you want to get. And it's if you have any sort of connection to the old Transformers cartoons, you're going to really love it. And I don't have that connection, but I watched
the old Transformers. So I'm pretty excited. And so I think what we're probably going to do is we're going to buy the first one and we're going to play through that. And then we're going to buy the second one, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was just released.
Yeah, it came out a couple weeks ago, actually, and to fairly good reviews, actually. So, yeah.
Excellent. So, yeah, we'll be picking that up and we will be reviewing it on the Gamers Inn, possibly with a special guest. Teaser. He's been on here before. Teaser number two. So look for possibly a Transformers episode coming up in the near future, as long as it doesn't interfere with our WoW episodes or our Halo episodes.
We have so some space after WoW. I mean,
so do you want to get to our final announcement of the night before we wrap up the show?
Sure, just all kinds of announcements coming at you. Anyways, announcement. We have a blog on the Gamers Inn, and really we've been using it for announcements, scheduling things like with Road to Halo 4, but we have talked about doing content on it, like editorial content, and Joss and I have just been so busy, we have time to do the show, and that's about it. But
even that's a crapshoot some weeks.
Well, yeah, I mean, life and shit. Summer, right? But yeah, Lou, Busy Zombie Lord, we've been talking to him, and he is a writer on Alt.Games, and he had some content that he was trying to put up, and we said, hey, you should post it on the Gamers Inn blog. So he did. So we have Lou's column, and we don't have a name for it yet. I was trying to think of names, and I couldn't think of anything good. But if you guys have a name, send it in. Send it to Lou. And his first column is called Penny Pinching and Barrel Scraping. And it revolves around looking at not only cheap games, but, you know, the title's a little misleading. It not only focuses on cheap games, but cool indie games.
Quality indie games. And, yeah. Really interesting titles for not a lot of money and stuff that everybody should be getting, but has probably slipped through the cracks with all the other news and all the crazy stuff going on right now. Yes. So, I mean, Lou, I am so impressed with him. He has just his finger on the pulse of the industry. Like, he's just pulling these games out of nowhere. And I'm just like, how did you even know that existed? So you guys should definitely go check it out at gamersinpodcast.com. It's in our blog section. And look for more content coming from Lou in the near future.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's working really hard on the next one, right, Lou? I'm sure he is. I'm looking forward to reading more. This one on Kerbal Space Program, it's a really interesting game that, yeah, you could easily just miss based on all the cool shit coming out.
So that brings us to the end of our show. If you want to be just like Joel and if you want to read Lou's stuff, you can find everything, how to contact us. Everything else is at our website, which is gamersinpodcast.com. Our live feed is there, our live chat is there, and our forums. So don't forget to sign up for those. You can also email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn. And we're on Google Plus. Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. He has also launched an Indiegogo campaign to publish his first book. So go check it out over there. It's a great way to pre-order the book and get a bit of a discount on some art and comics and such, because guess what? No taxes on pledges. So yeah, thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Bye, Ashley. We're starting soon.
Oh, starting now. Baby voice this time?
Nah. Well, you know, that's how I get away with things.
We're about to start soon.
We're going to do the whole show like that. Brought to you by the Care Bears. Look back at the wonderful year. Remember Tor? Oh, Tor.
We all thought it would be so relevant.
Jocelyn said she'd buy it, and then she didn't. Oh.
Bradley Sweeners.
No.
The Extra Life video game marathon is coming on October 20th. Extra Life is just like a run or a walk or a bike event, except you never have to get off the couch. Sign up at extra-life.org. Then get friends and family members to give you money to play. On October 20th at 8 a.m., play any games you want on any system for 24 hours. Find out more and sign up. extra-life.org. Play games. Heal kids. Extra Life. This message made possible by Children's Miracle Network Hospitals and this podcast.